Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
But you also had people that were very fine people.
Very fine people.
On both sides.
And the aliens would mind meld and give them the technology. They're bad aliens.
So
are you surprised the Nazis were influenced by demons?
No, if demons are real, I would definitely think they'd be on the side of the Nazis.
Yeah.
McDonald's is connected to the Clintons. They chop up the bodies and put them into the sausage and hamburgers. People are being cannibalized. Look it up.
And I'm watching CNN talk about this as violent white nationalist protests. We have done everything in our power to keep this peaceful, you know?
It's Pepe's become kind of a symbol.
Welcome to Yeah Nah Passeran, a show about fascism and its gravediggers. I'm Cam Smith.
I'm Andy Fleming.
And this week we are joined by Lucy Hamilton, whose mastermind special subject is the Atlas Network and the think tanks that seek to influence our politics. Lucy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Cam and Andy. Good to be back.
There's been quite a meeting of the minds in the UK over the past little while. Could you tell us a little bit about the Alliance for Responsible Citizenship? What makes them so responsible?
That's a really good question. I guess it's depending on how you define responsible. So they could well be very irresponsible. Ben Clark from The Prospect in the UK has just written an account of it for Crikey. And his description of the event sounds like it was absolutely disgustingly, hellishly hot outside in the UK. And he was coming inside to this fossil fuel funded anti-renewables pro-fossil fuel conference. So doesn't sound very responsible to me.
No, not at all. There were quite a few Australians there. Who from down under has made the journey to the UK to attend the ARC conference?
Well, we have several Australians on the advisory board with some of the uglier people in what likes to consider itself the intellectual side of national conservatism. And so on the board, you have John Howard, Tony Abbott, John Anderson, former Deputy Prime Minister, Andrew Hastie, who seems to be out of fashion at the moment because he's being honourable about testifying against Ben Robert Smith. There is Amanda Stoker, there is Jacinta Price, and there is also Robin Batterham, who used to be our chief scientist. So he's a sad addition to that collection of climate denialists and culture warriors. And so they're on the board. So Abbott was speaking this year, as was Anderson. Bridget McKenzie, the one famed for her colour-coded pork barrelling sheet, was speaking about defending our universities from the rampaging woke. Greg Sheridan was speaking, the foreign editor for The Australian. He's been a big supporter and booster of the conference since its first iteration in 2023. There were all sorts of other people there. And, oh, the other thing that was there too was Australia's Free Speech Union, which is a fairly insubstantial body in Australia, but it's quite big in both the UK and in New Zealand, where it's sticking its oar into things in the Atlas Network sphere quite a lot. The one in Australia had a particularly nasty TERF come and do a tour of Australia last year. So they're trying to get going, but not yet, I think, terribly substantial in the Australian scene. And the various free speech unions were quite prominent this year at ARC. The suggestion from Byline Times is that they're an offshoot of the Peter Thiel race science kind of operations that were centred at Cambridge. And so the idea is, I think, that they're supposed to be protecting free speech for pretending that race as a laddered concept of worth and IQ power is actually scientific when we all know it's not. And any other culture war sort of things that they can protect, but obviously not free speech for you and me.
Lucy, how would you align ARC in terms of domestic Australian politics? Because obviously, one of the things we've witnessed recently is the sudden popularity of One Nation.
It's well worth thinking about because you've got people there that we've tended to laugh about trying to be relevant on the political stage in the aftermath of their kind of peak significance. So people like Tony Abbott tend to get laughs. But now he's the president of the Liberal Party and is reputed to be thick as thieves in a little triad with himself, Peter Credlin, and Lachlan Murdoch. And so the idea that those people might well be deciding whether the Liberal Party gives preferences to One Nation or whether they form a minority government. And his, Tony Abbott's obviously an IPA Distinguished Fellow, so that's the Atlas Network Institute of Public Affairs. And his fellow alumnus or still connected, Tim Wilson, who's Shadow Treasurer, said that the Liberal Party was considering doing minority government arrangements with One Nation if that turned out to be necessary. So I think what you've got there is something that could end up being quite significant, given that these people are very tied to this extensive fossil fuel network, but also to a very reactionary old school Christian network that has no time at all for LGBTQI rights and no time at all for reproductive health care, reproductive justice. So they're is definitely the potential with this kind of minoritarian government idea that we've seen in America of imposing restrictions on the rights of Australians according to the goals of a very narrow band of people who have fringe definitions of what Christian, inverted commas, morality should look like.
And Lucy, if ARC could be described by some at least as constituting the intellectual right, what's your understanding of the relationship between these towering intellects and the non-intellectual right, whether in Australia or elsewhere?
I think you've got conferences like the various CPACs and those sort of things that seem to be much more rowdy and ridiculous, silly hats and things like that. So Advance seems to see itself as much more of the kind of battler audience that it's directed at. So it's still got the same sort of people. Tony Abbott's been an advisor forever. And David Adler from the Australian Jewish Association is there. So there's still these people who I think probably fancy themselves as being brains, but they're run by people who I think see themselves as much scrappier in that kind of CPAC mode of culture war fighting. You've got those kind of things. And then there seems to be a fair connection that we're seeing with people like Karl Stefanovic networking into the people who are doing all the various March Australia or Australia Marches groups, where they're overlapping with people who are more or less content to be photographed with neo-Nazis, speaking carefully here, not to call them actually neo-Nazis. But one of the people that Karl interviewed recently was told by one of his interviewees that he sounded like he was on the road to being a neo-Nazi, and he shrugged and said, yeah, and then moved on to the next point. The ground level is getting into that very Islamophobic, anti-immigrant, anti-feminist, anti-queer, bigoted space that we're seeing the violence arising in the UK in those various things that have been described as pogroms.
Lucy, in terms of the, I guess what you might describe as the propaganda effects of these sorts of institutions on public discourse, to what extent do you think that these elite bodies are responsible for promoting the kinds of ideas and attitudes that lead to the kinds of things that you've referred to, including the pogroms in Belfast?
It's a really good question. You've definitely got a kind of autochthonous thing of ground level mixing between people who are obsessed with borders, but on the internet's borderless space. And so we had the people during COVID health protests holding up signs in Australia against American constitutional rights and things like that. So there's definitely a confusion at the ground level and a swirling mass of people who are sharing ideas, and as soon as someone picks up that some chip brand overseas is woke, suddenly there'll be people cropping up in sort of Nazi trending circles who suddenly loathe that chip brand even though they've never seen it before. So these sort of movements certainly swirl around organically. But I think we've seen Elon Musk promoting those things. Elon Musk just promoted a speech by Tommy Robinson that called for the remigration, I don't know if you used the word this time, of half of Britain's Muslims to countries outside. And so that meant that the speech was seen by tens of millions of people that it wouldn't have been seen otherwise. So it's really crucial. And we're not quite sure the degree to which the strategizing goes downhill. But Tommy Robinson or Stephen Yaxley-Lennon was, it's just been revealed by a small media organisation in the UK called Double Down News, was revealed to have been groomed during the 2000s after he got out of prison. He'd been a member of the British National Party, which was the sort of neo-Nazi trending group with widespread bigotries. And he was groomed by a man called Ezra Levant, who started Rebel Media in Canada. And the story is, according to Double Down News, that the English Defence League, which was his own little street thug racist branch, was actually founded by the Jewish Defence League, which is a violent Jewish organisation that's related to Ben-Gavir and Smotrich's very radical politics around a man called Kahana, who is one of the most radical of Jewish supremacists. So the theory is that body actually established the EDL. And since then, Tommy Robinson's been funded by American billionaires to run this ground game. So Katie Hopkins is also funded by them. And Avi Yemeni is linked into the same rebel media group. So I don't know that he's funded in the same way that the others are. But so you can see that there is this really concentrated effort, and particularly in that Islamophobic network, there's a big effort to make sure that they're hitting the ground game with the street brawlers as well as the elites. So a lot of the acceptance of Islamophobia in British politics and elite thought leader circles has been a result of these groups like the Henry Jackson Society and the Policy Exchange, which incidentally Alexander Downer is the chairman of trustees of. And they have all been working incredibly hard to promote Islamophobia since the 90s. It's been very powerfully effective in Britain. And I think the scary thing is that what we're starting to see is that game's being reproduced in Australia and trying to beat up those levels of Islamophobia here. And I think the connection between the Australian Jewish Association and Advance is part of that move to spread it through the right-wing propaganda in Australia. And I find that really disturbing.
Lucy, if I might just make a small correction to some of what you said there, not just billionaires financing this, but now trillionaires.
True. Very good point. Although apparently he's receded again.
Oh, what a shame.
Indeed.
Speaking of Elon, I was wondering if you've had a chance to catch Citizen Vigilante, the movie he's been promoting on X, the Everything app.
No, I haven't. I have seen that the American government has had an interesting video that they put out through Homeland Security of making immigrants out as aliens who needed to be dealt with, and that's fairly terrifying.
Lucy, Pauline recently made some headlines for declaring the need for Australia to be a monoculture. What do you think that monoculture looks like in Pauline's mind?
I think probably for her, white. And given that she was singling out Paul Hogan and Norman Gunston, I think it's time for Nana to be wheeled off to the RSL. It's not exactly any kind of Australia that most people recognise these days. If there's an overlap with these national conservatives that we're talking about at the Alliance Conference, then it's also a ostensibly Christian Australia. And I think that's something that we need to think about, because Australians tend to feel pretty safe about not inheriting the American Christian weirdness around government, and that we won't lose our rights to, for example, abortion up front. But it's very identitarian as well as religious. And so I think there's a bunch of people that potentially Pauline Hanson's talking to there who are thinking of Christian as meaning white and Western not Muslim, not brown, all that kind of thing. And so the idea of a monoculture can be flagged as Christian in that sense. And if you look at it, Tommy Robinson's street thugs were carrying crosses at the last protest. So they're trying very hard to do something very weird along those lines. One of the Welsh bishops from a breakaway faith that speaks at Tommy Robinson's things was apparently brought out to the latest Church and State Conference, which is our Australian Christian Lobby affiliated or connected conference that's trying to put God in government here from a much more overtly religious line. So he was coming out to spread his Islamophobia at that conference.
Lucy, Christian nationalism obviously has a decided effect upon American politics. Australian politics, Australian parliamentary politics has been less affected by religious ideology, arguably, but that may be changing. What do you think are the kinds of impediments or barriers that prevent a more, let's say, US-style Christian nationalist movement developing in Australia? What do you see as being the chief tensions between that doctrine and its ability to implant itself in the Australian body politic, or more fully at least?
I think we've been fairly irreverent and intolerant of people taking themselves too seriously as religious for a long time. So hopefully that will take it. And I think Australians tend to feel like we don't want our rights taken away by anyone telling us whether or not, for example, we can have an abortion or whether we can access voluntary assisted dying, whether we're allowed to be queer, those kinds of things. But what we're not quite sure with at the moment is how our information space is functioning. And so we don't know what people are understanding about Pauline Hanson's platform and the sort of people who are dribbling in around her who are quite extreme Christians. So it might be that people in Australia don't want to be ruled by Christian sort of fundamental moral teachings or whatever, but that we may end up getting it because we have enough people who are disgruntled about cost of living and those sorts of pressures without realising what's coming with it. And I think we can't be complacent about people's access to information because we're so siloed from understanding what other people are seeing. And I think other countries have been taken by surprise, particularly America, by the electorate. And what's happening there is that they're getting to elections and suddenly finding that they've got a government that they didn't want at all.
Lucy, there was a few interesting people at the ARC conference in the UK, including Stephen Shavura, formerly of Campion College. What's going on with Campion College and the IPA?
This is a very interesting question. So it looks an awful lot like there's been a connection between the two for a while. So Shavura was speaking at the IPA's Youth Academy, giving lectures on Western civilization at the same time as he was doing his sort of white nationalist tweeting online. So I think the IPA knows what they've got with him. And the former executive director of the IPA has been announced as the president of Campion College this year. So it's intriguing to wonder exactly how the connection's working. Gina Reinhart is a donor. She funded the library at Campion. So given that Gina's the main donor for Advance, for IPA, for the Liberal Party, as was, and for One Nation, it's interesting to wonder whether Campion's considered part of a network. There certainly seem to be students going in either direction, I think, from the IPA and Campion College. The curriculum at the IPA, at the Campion, they boasted was IPA compliant in one of their newsletters. So they've had Bella Debrera at the IPA as their main person importing the American war on education. So in America, the Republicans have been trying to destroy public education because they can't control it in terms of inclusiveness and annoying science like climate change awareness and that sort of thing. So they generally find it's way too socialist and they want everyone either in private schools, charter schools, home schools, or not schooled at all because they'll be very cheap labour if they're not schooled at all. And that model is something that on some level the IPA and the Centre for Independent Studies are both seeming to push. And they've just ramped up their war on education by importing another chap who's been, I think he went overseas as one of the first Ramsey scholars, and that's Tony Abbott's beachhead in three different Australian university campuses that used a very big Catholic endowment to create these institutions. People might remember the scandal when ANU refused to have it on campus. And it co-brands events with the Atlas Network people. Its first media advisor, I think, was Rebecca Weiser, who was at the Centre for Independent Studies. So it looks like it's got fairly strong links to the Atlas Network crowd. And this young man was sent off on one of their first scholarships to study overseas. He's now at Barry Weiss's, the one who's taking apart 60 Minutes, fake university in Texas, where she's got a bust of herself in the foyer, and he's the dean of studies there, having been at one of Viktor Orban's think tanks. And quite a few people apparently have gone across from Viktor Orban's think tanks to Barry Weiss's pretend university. So this free speech university in Texas is importing all these people from illiberal Hungary, which is interesting. And he's coming back here to work at the IPA, joining Bella on the war on schools. So I think we can expect a stepping up of their campaign to damage public schools and the Australian secular attitude.
Speaking of Advance Australia, there was some recent reporting in the Sydney Morning Herald that Advance, as well as the Plymouth Brethren, were potentially going to be compulsorily summoned before federal parliament to speak to their conduct at the last federal election. Do you expect that the committee looking to the election is going to find much out about them? And then what's the involvement of the Brethren, who I thought weren't even allowed to vote?
No, they're not. It's a really interesting thing that apparently they came out in such huge numbers, and people may be aware there have been newspaper reports recently about the leadership telling people that they have to get rid of their pets, even if it means putting down their family dog and all that sort of thing. And there's been a lot of distress in the community about it. So given the degree of control that the organisation has over the members, I think the fact that so many of them came out in hordes, it has to have been organised from the top, that all these young people went out and badgered voters at some election booths. So that's interesting. The Advance was part of the sort of metastasizing of front groups, some of them Zionists, some of them environmental, around the time of the last federal election. And there was a lot of interesting T-shirt swapping going on between various groups at election booths. So it'll be interesting to see if they do actually turn up.
Lucy, my favourite senator, Ralph Babbitt, what's he been up to lately?
This is interesting. Apparently he's about to arrest the decline of Western civilization, which is quite a concept. So John Roscombe, who has moved across to Campion, is appearing at a Christopher Dawson, not the murderer, centre function in Toorak this weekend, where they have a series of Catholic speakers coming to talk about the decline in Western civilization. And you'll never guess who the keynote speaker is, Ralph Babbitt.
Oh, I'm there.
Really, though, it should be tremendous. I think people's brains will actually deteriorate during his speech.
Do you think, Lucy, they'll address the child sex abuse scandal within the Catholic Church?
Or the Christian Brothers selling off all their property for a pittance so that they can't compensate the victims, the survivors? I would imagine not.
Yes. It doesn't sound very Jesus-like to me, but what would I know?
Same, and I was brought up Catholic.
Lucy, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us. If people want to read more of your investigating into the Atlas Network and the transnational rights infiltration of Australian politics and society, they can find you on Blue Sky at lucyham.bsky.social. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Cam and Andy. Great to speak to you.
Andy, that is our program. We will be back next week. Just a reminder, if you would like to donate to 3CR to keep radio like this on the air, you can still do so at 3cr.org.au/donate. However, you will have to save, including it on your tax return, until next year because it is a new financial year. And I know that for our listenership, tax minimization is top of mind always. We'll see you next week.
And thank you for the support. Bye.
Ciao.
The New International Bookshop's Big Red Book Fair is back for 2026. We'll have thousands of secondhand books for super low prices and 20% off new books, plus many other cool things. This is a great moment to support Melbourne's longest-running left bookshop. I'll see you on Saturday, the 18th of July, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Trades Hall, 54 Victoria Street, Carlton. Can't wait to see you there. The New International Bookshop is a 3CR supporter.
We're celebrating 50 years of 3CR on Saturday, the 4th of July at Collingwood Town Hall. There'll be stalls, displays, great food, performances, activities, prizes, and so much more. It's a birthday for us, and we can't wait to celebrate with you. Saturday, the 4th of July, Collingwood Town Hall, 11 a.m. till 4 p.m. Bring your family, tell your friends, all are welcome. 3CR, celebrating 50 years.
Let us know you're coming. Go to Humanitix and search for 3CR to RSVP.